In the middle of the earth, in the land of Shire, lives a brave little hobbit whom we all admire. With his long wooden pipe, fuzzy woolly toes, he lives in a hobbit hole and everybody knows him. Bilbo, Bilbo Baggins, he's only 3 feet tall. Bilbo, Bilbo Baggins, the bravest little hobbit of them all.
Well, if we didn't have any, if we didn't have three other guests, we would just listen to that for the next hour and a half. No need to wait for Peter Jackson and his movie The Hobbit, An Unexpected Journey, to arrive on December 14th. Middle Earth Mania has already hit bookstores. Today marks the 75th anniversary of the publication of J.R.R. Tolkien's immortal tale about the great adventure of furry-footed Bilbo Baggins. Written by Tolkien, a British professor, for his four children, and published in 1937 with a 1,500 copy first printing. It's a story of how a stay-at-home hobbit, very fond of hearth and home, ends up venturing forth with 13 dwarves and a wizard named Gandalf to retrieve treasure stolen by a savage dragon. The prelude to the Lord of the Rings trilogy, The Hobbit, has been translated into more than 50 languages and sold 100 million copies worldwide. The new book exploring J.R.R. Tolkien's The Hobbit is a chapter-by-chapter analysis of the book by Corey Olson. Corey has read and reread The Hobbit and The Lord of the Rings every year since he was 8. Now, 38, he is an English professor at Washington College in Chestertown, Maryland. In 2009, he founded a popular website and podcast, www.tolkienprofessor.com. We welcome him to the roundtable this morning. Corey, thank you very much for being with us.
Good morning. Happy to be here.
It's a great pleasure to have you with us, and happy anniversary.
Yes, indeed. It is a great day today.
So what got you interested in this and in exploring this in such an in-depth way?
Well, you know, I have, you know, discovered certainly through my podcast that there are really a large number of people out there who are very interested to study these works in a serious way. You know, I have found that Tolkien is really remarkably rewarding to study. You know, when you read his works slowly and you look at them carefully, and students of Tolkien, you know, Tolkien fans are a pretty remarkable lot, I have found, and have a great appetite for looking closely at the text and really thinking about the things that Tolkien puts in there. So my book was basically a design to help people sort of slow down, pay attention to the things that are going on in the story, and to be building together the overall themes of the story. The Hobbit is very often, even though it's loved by so many people, is very often overlooked because it's kind of dismissed as a children's book, and it is a far more complicated and interesting story, I think, than most people realize.
And yet, so many of us are introduced to it as children.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, it stays with us in something that, it, certainly in your case, and I think in many cases, it's something that we go back to.
Oh, absolutely. And it's one of those things that I think really, at least I have always found, I still find new things in The Hobbit and in The Lord of the Rings as I reread them. It is, for me, that's one of the main tests of literature. If a book really rewards a second and a third and a fourth reading, with sort of opening up new things that you didn't see before, that's kind of my own personal definition of great literature. And certainly, yes, many have found that with The Hobbit. That's been, one of the things that I'm excited to do here on the 75th anniversary, and as we're, people are anticipating the film to really hope that people will be reading and rereading the book in preparation, because it is really a remarkable book.
Talk a little bit about how The Hobbit then launched The Lord of the Rings for Tolkien. So he wrote this book in 1937. It became very, very popular, and you assume that the publisher wants more.
Exactly. Yeah, they did. They came and asked him for a sequel, and he said he wouldn't mind doing that. So he sat down to work on the sequel, and he finally finished the sequel 17 years later, and that was The Lord of the Rings. 17 years, yeah. The Hobbit was published in 1937, and then The Fellowship of the Ring finally came out in 1954. basically, the story, as he was working on it, as he was writing it, kept growing and developing, and he kept going back and rewriting it. His publisher had sort of long since given up on the actual sequel. And what he wrote, he began to be concerned that this story that he was writing is not really going to be suitable at all. It had long ceased to be anything like a second Hobbit adventure story. And grown into something else, but it really was the story, the kind of story that he'd always wanted to write. So he continued, and with much encouragement and perseverance, finally did complete it and get it published, which in post-war England was a challenge because, of course, one issue was his publisher was worried there wasn't enough paper to publish a 1,000-page book, and that's one of the reasons it was divided into three. So basically The Lord of the Rings was conceived as a sequel, but so much growth has happened of the story and of the world in which the story takes place that, you know, there's quite a wide gap between the two of them.
Now, as you write in the book, Tolkien had to even go back and rewrite a part of The Hobbit to make it fit with this larger story and, quite frankly, a darker story.
Yes, well, one of the major differences, of course, well, really the biggest difference, is the ring. As he was developing the new story, fairly early on, he decided that the ring was going to be the connection between the two. The ring originally, in the 1937 Hobbit, it's just a magic invisibility ring that Bilbo finds. There's nothing sinister about it. It's not a ring of power. That whole concept didn't exist. But as he's going on to the second story, he decided this ring of power, this ring is going to be a ring of power. It's going to be, you know, have belonged to Sauron the Necromancer, who makes a sort of a minor appearance in The Hobbit, but is not in any way a main concern of the story. So when he developed that story of the corrupting evil influence of the ring of power, he was able to fit almost all of The Hobbit into that. It worked fine. It was okay to have Bilbo basically using this as a ring of invisibility and not understanding the significance of it, again, thinking back in retrospect. But there was one part of the story which just would not fit at all with with this new conception of the ring, and that was the scene with Gollum, that the central riddles in the dark passage, which is, you know, one of the great iconic moments in The Hobbit. And in the 1937 edition, Gollum actually was going to hand over the ring. He agreed that if Bilbo won the riddle game, he, Gollum, was going to give Bilbo a present. He was going to give him this one precious thing that he had, which was the magic invisibility ring. And, of course, Bilbo had already found it, just like he does in the version that everybody's read. So when Gollum loses the riddle game, he goes back, this is in the 37 edition now, he goes back to his little island to look for the ring to give Bilbo like he promised, and he can't find it because Bilbo already has it. And he is so apologetic. He comes right back to Bilbo and says, "I am so, so sorry. I don't have the ring to give you. I feel just awful." And he apologizes again and again and again. And Bilbo says, "It's okay. Why don't you just show me the way out instead?" So Gollum shows him the way out. They politely shake hands and Gollum says goodbye. Tolkien clearly saw that if this invisibility ring is in fact going to be now a ring of power, which has this evil corruptive influence on whoever owns it, that is just not going to work. So he had to go back and rewrite that chapter, make Gollum both more wicked, though also he makes him more pitiable and more sad as he's been corrupted by the ring. And, of course, now he's treacherous and tries to kill Bilbo and is, you know, suspicious that he has the ring. And now we get the, you know, the famous, "Baggins, we hates it forever," ending to his encounter with Bilbo, which was certainly not how things happened in the first edition. So he went back and reinserted that new chapter about 10 years later in 1947. So it was still 7 years before the publication of The Lord of the Rings, but it was, you know, well after he'd been... He'd already been working on the Lord of the Rings story for 10 years at that point, so he already had, you know, that story pretty well worked out. So in fact, you know, in this way, in a rather interesting way, the Gollum that we meet in the Lord of the Rings that people are familiar with, seeing him interact with Frodo and that whole relationship as they go to Mount Doom, is actually the basis for the Gollum that people know in The Hobbit, not the other way around. Because he had to revise Gollum in order to make him fit with the Lord of the Rings Gollum, which was at that point yet unpublished, but was still the basis of this new Gollum that we all now think we know.
It seems, and it didn't to me until I read your book, but I guess it does make some sense, and I've heard the rationale, and I, you know, okay, I buy it. But it's, so Peter Jackson's making a movie of The Hobbit, and you think, okay, that makes sense. He certainly knows his Tolkien. So then we find out that The Hobbit's going to be three movies.
Yes.
So ultimately, that seems a bit odd, but you point out that really does make sense when you look at this historical framework.
It really does, because basically, you know, here's the story. Again, you know, Peter Jackson is not just doing a film of the 1937 children's story that came out. In fact, what he's doing is quite similar to, in some ways, to what Tolkien himself did. Having written the Lord of the Rings stuff, he now, you know, in still accepting and still holding The Hobbit to be, you know, a chapter of the history of Middle-earth, which has now grown and developed, you know, in many ways over the course of the writing of The Lord of the Rings. Now Tolkien had a lot of work to do to go back and retroactively tell, you know, fill in the backstory of things which were not at all developed in The Hobbit in order to make sure that chapter fits within the larger history of Middle-earth that he had developed in the course of writing The Lord of the Rings. So he wrote, a bunch of other things, some of which were published in the appendices of The Lord of the Rings, some of which were published posthumously by Christopher Tolkien, sort of explaining how the, you know, other things that were going on sort of off the center stage of The Hobbit book, which seemed to be really, you know, not very well or not very thoroughly conceived when he was writing The Hobbit, but which he went back later on and thought more about. And that's essentially a very similar project to what Peter Jackson is doing. He, too, is not, you know, he's not doing the 37 Hobbit. He's looking back at the Hobbit from the point of view of the Lord of the Rings, which, again, is what Tolkien was doing. And so Peter Jackson, like Tolkien, is bringing the Hobbit story into the context of the larger Middle-earth story that he's already told in his initial films. So I know that it does seem a little bit strange, but I have to admit it really does make sense to me, because in his later years, Tolkien was conceiving The Hobbit as an important chapter which does fit very importantly into the larger story of the end of the Third Age of Middle-earth. And that's clearly the story that Peter Jackson is telling.
It is the 75th anniversary today of one of the most beloved books of the 20th century, The Hobbit. And the new book by Corey Olson is exploring J.R.R. Tolkien's The Hobbit, and it's published by Houghton Mifflin Harcourt. Corey Olson, a great pleasure to have you on the program. I thank you very much, and know that folks can find out more about you and your work by going to TolkienProfessor.com, TolkienProfessor.com. Corey Olson, a great pleasure. Thank you very much.
Thanks for having me.
Again, the name of the book, Exploring J.R.R. Tolkien's The Hobbit. It's published by Houghton Mifflin Harcourt. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.